The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Eye on the Price, How $5 Million Homes Became the New Benchmark for Luxury in the Triangle. And the article begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, The New Price of Luxury. The Triangle's market for upscale homes is hitting new heights as buyer demand fuels record sales volume. And this is written by Kaylee Thompson. A $5 million home in the Triangle was unheard of 6 years ago, let alone a $3 million home, even inside the Raleigh Beltline or in the Northridge neighborhood. In 2008, the luxury home market was limited in the Triangle, and million-dollar homes were rare. By 2012, million-dollar homes had started popping up all over the region, with prices ranging from the high $900,000s of dollars to $1.4 million. But now, those prices are what Jim Allen, broker and president of the Jim Allen Group, refers to as the starter home or entry point for people looking to buy their first luxury home. In 2020, the luxury market price point in the Triangle was $1 million and up. While the luxury market is $1.2 million and up now, it's really more like $3 million per Gretchen Coley, founding principal of Compass and leader of the Coley Group. Coley added that the luxury market is defined as the top 5% of sales. The biggest differentiation that we've seen since COVID is a $3 million house in Raleigh used to be unheard of. After COVID, a $3 million house, it's rampant, Coley said. She said a price of $3 million is what sets our ultra-luxury price point. It's grown substantially if we start to course this down and really get into the higher price points. Raleigh now has a pretty extensive ultra-luxury market. In the Triangle in 2020, there were 36 closed sales of over $2 million, according to MLS data. That number jumped to a whopping 278 closed sales in 2025. And so far, for 2026, there are 105 active, pending, and closed houses at $3 million and up. Allen said that the luxury home market is just starting and getting ready to go crazy. He added that home prices at $2 million and higher are the healthiest part of the housing market in the area. The upward trend in pricing in large mansions is being driven mostly by out-of-state home buyers coming from California and New York, according to Allen and Coley. These home buyers are typically paying cash and experiencing sticker shock, but in the opposite direction. Buyers cannot believe how much house and land they're getting for less than what they paid for something smaller in another state. Allen shared an example of buyers he recently sold a $3 million home to that has 6,000 square feet and a three-car garage. They had been living in San Diego. In a 1,700-square-foot home with a smaller garage, they paid significantly more for the San Diego house than the Raleigh home. Triangle real estate agents are seeing similar stories over and over again with out-of-state buyers, more house and more land, but way less cost. The problem lately is there isn't enough inventory of new homes, per Allen. Custom home builders cannot build infill new construction homes and estate and gated communities fast enough to keep up with demand. Allen mentioned buyers, again from California, who were looking for homes in the $3 million to $5 million price point. He said he could show them 11 homes, and most of those weren't completed, leaving the buyers shocked at how little finished inventory there was. Coley said the Triangle's job market and educational institutions play a significant role in the out-of-market buyers moving here. We have always had a great education system. There's a huge marketing engine for North Carolina, making North Carolina the number one state for business the last three out of the last 4 years. Along with that comes significant investment in infrastructure, into job creation and job growth, Coley said. She pointed to Holly Springs and the expansion of life sciences companies there. They have $8 billion with the dollars of investment going in. The average wage of a worker there is $110,000, with many of them going up into the $160,000 range. So as you see companies like that moving into an area, it's going to drive our price points up. Rising demand for amenities. The mansions are putting that wealth on display. Trends for most luxury homes include expansive outdoor living spaces with accordion doors that can be opened to create a seamless connection between inside and outside. swimming pools, built-in spas, covered patios, outdoor kitchens, sport courts, fire pits, outdoor showers, pool houses, and more are hallmarks of the luxury market. When it comes to inside the house, sculleries, wine cellars, and multiple home offices are popular features, along with spaces reserved for teens like recreation and media rooms with kitchenettes. But don't expect to see sizable, fancy dining rooms much longer. The death of the dining room is slowly occurring among the luxury market as more and more families move to eating at the kitchen island or in an expanded breakfast nook right off of the kitchen. For our market, we think, oh gosh, $3 million to $5 million homes, that sounds expensive. Not compared to the rest of the country, and the people moving here see that, Alan said. If I were to spell out everybody that's buying luxury from us, it's all types of people. There's so many dual incomes now that those folks are both making $200,000 to $400,000 a year salaries, which puts them in a $600,000 to $800,000 a year competitive salary. That part, luxury homes of our market, is here to stay, and I'm shocked at how much of it is. For the out-of-town buyer coming here, we're still a bargain price, Alan said. With that high of an annual salary, buyers can afford these high price points. TBJ reviewed luxury home sales over the past 12 months in the Triangle and identified four homes that illustrate the trends across the Triangle. North Raleigh. A mansion on Fox Ridge Drive led the 2025 Triangle Parade of Homes as the most expensive home on the list. Sitting on a 1.42-acre lot in the Shadow Creek Estates neighborhood in North Raleigh, it boasts expansive outdoor living, including a swimming pool, spa, fire pit, sport court, in-ground trampoline, covered lounge, and outdoor kitchen. Inside the home has a chef's kitchen with a scullery, wolf, and Sub-Zero appliances and dual islands. There's also a media room, bar lounge, and home gym with private porch. Other touches include hardwood, ceramic tile, and marble flooring, beamed and vaulted ceilings, granite and quartz countertops, and a sauna. The home was built by Lloyd Builders in 2025. Lloyd Builders originally listed it at $7.6 million in March 2025, with only renderings, as the homes in Shadow Creek Estates are custom built. The sale went through in November with Christina Valkanoff of Christina Valkanoff Realty Group as the listing agent, and Jim Allen of Coldwell Banker HPW as the buyer's agent. Inside the Beltline, Raleigh. Sold as a resale home in August, a home on Alamance Drive has the coveted Inside the Beltline location in the Country Club Hills neighborhood. It features high-end touches like a custom staircase, beamed ceilings, hardwood and ceramic tile flooring, cedar closets, and a built-in sound system. The kitchen has a large center island, Wolf and Sub-Zero appliances, bar refrigerator, double oven, wine cooler, and wine refrigerator. There's also a wood-paneled study, rec media room with wet bar, three-car garage, and motor court. Moving outside, there's a swimming pool with integrated hot tub, fire pit, pool cottage, and porch with ceiling heaters, fireplace, retractable screens, built-in grill, and outdoor kitchen. Marlowe Builders built the home in 2019 on a 0.94-acre lot. It was listed at $5.75 million on June 2025. The listing agent was Runyon Tyler of Berkshire Hathaway Home Service, while the buyer's agent was Bo Bromhall, also of Berkshire Hathaway Home Service. Downtown Durham. One particular penthouse condominium is on the 27th floor of the Novus in downtown Durham. Despite being a resale, the owners of the condo never moved in after making extensive custom upgrades to it. The condo was completed in 2025 and is brand new. Those custom upgrades include a 1,000-bottle climate-controlled wine room, motorized blinds, two walk-in California closets in the owner's suite, a customized audio and visual package with televisions and built-in speakers throughout the unit, and a wet bar with a built-in wine fridge and separate ice maker in the living room. It has floor-to-ceiling windows, fireplaces, smart home technology, and a covered balcony. The kitchen has upgraded appliances that have custom-made front panels to blend seamlessly with the cabinets. Appliances include a Sub-Zero refrigerator, a Wolf gas range with infrared griddle, Wolf double-wall ovens, and a Wolf drawer microwave. If it sold for the listing price, it would make the state record for condo sales. That record currently belongs to another condo in the Novus building that sold for $5.25 million in January. That condo is the other unit on the 27th floor. The January sale condo is 5,484 square feet with three bedrooms and five bathrooms. It features a waterfall edge countertop, integrated cabinet front appliances, a patio, two fireplaces, a laundry room, and floor-to-ceiling windows. Chapel Hill. The home of former University of North Carolina football coach Mack Brown sold in November 2025. It's near the UNC campus and was built in 1922 with extensive renovations performed by the Browns in 2021. It's one of the few resale homes that has a golf simulator room and a larger recreation room. The chef's kitchen has a long island with a built-in sink, dishwasher, and microwave. There's also a built-in refrigerator, bar fridge, and scullery with countertops and sink. The flooring in the room, in the home ranges from hardwood to marble to slate. Countertops are granite and quartz. The two-car garage also has an EV charging station. The outdoor living includes a private terrace that overlooks the swimming pool, hot tub, wet bar, and enclosed courtyard. A covered porch and patio hold a fireplace with room for lounge seating. It was originally listed at $6.6 million by Hodge & Cottrell Sotheby's International Realty in March 2025. It was taken off the market in August, then put back on the market on October 1st at $6.25 million. It was listed by Molly Owen and Haley Sims of Hodge & Cottrell, and the buyer's agent was Gretchen Castorino of Compass. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one written by Kate Tracy. Raleigh Retail Center fetches $80.6 million. Finmark sees strong ROI after buying property in 2021. A Maryland real estate firm has sold a Northeast Raleigh shopping center for $80.6 million, well above what it paid for the retail center less than 5 years ago. Finmark Management Incorporated sold Capital Marketplace, located at 6250 Plantation Center Drive near the Triangle Town Center, to Principal Financial Group on May 15, according to Wake County Deeds. Principal Financial Group is a global financial services firm based in Des Moines, Iowa. The firm did not return requests for comment on the purchase. Finmark purchased the 383,000-square-foot retail center along Capitol Boulevard in December 2021. For $58 million, deed records show. The property's total assessed value is $65.1 million. Sean Sullivan, executive vice president at Finmark, said the firm wanted to unload Capital Marketplace to help fund other real estate purchases this year. We are currently pursuing a lot of office opportunities, so we're disposing of assets and moving over to office. That was really the impetus for the sale, Sullivan said. In late 2021, when the real estate industry was still reeling from the effects of the pandemic, Finmark decided to make a bet on the 53-acre retail center in Raleigh. I think a lot of buyers were still shying away from retail, and so we believed in brick and mortar that people were going to come back after the pandemic, Sullivan said. After the purchase, Finmark focused on improving landscaping and lighting as well as elevating the tenant roster. The firm replaced Big Lots with Bob's Discount Furniture and Petco with locally owned Party Shack, an indoor golf venue. The other anchors are LA Fitness, BJ's Wholesale Club, Burlington, and Dollar Tree. On the food and beverage front, Capital Marketplace tenants include frozen yogurt shop Sweet Frog, Crab du Jour, Cajun Seafood and Bar, and Red Bull Asian Bistro. A revolving sushi bar restaurant called Shinjuku Station has submitted permits to join the center as well. Finmark plans to stay active in and around Raleigh. We're going to have, I think, multiple acquisitions this year, and so hopefully the second half of this year yields to additional buys in Raleigh, Sullivan said. Oh, and actually, before going to the rest of the news, we forgot to read Biz, A Quick Glance at Triangle Happenings. This is written by Dane Huffman. Gold boom fuels local biz growth. High gold prices turn Chapel Hill shop into booming chain. The rising price of gold has been a lift for one local businessman whose business has grown steadily since he landed in the industry in 2009. Todd Mellett had previously been in a business that serviced daily newspapers and had a side gig photographing sports, especially men's basketball games at UNC Chapel Hill. But with daily newspapers cratering, he looked at returning to something he'd done as a kid when he worked at a coin shop and later made some real money in the coin business in college. He opened his first jewel recycle store in Chapel Hill in 2010, and three more stores followed shortly after that. At the start of 2010, an ounce of gold cost $1,116. By December 2022, that price was $1,797. Since then, gold has skyrocketed upward, now selling for around $4,700. Basically, it's been a straight line up, Mellett said. Mellett's annual revenue is now nearly $43 million. We're in a tough business that has a lot of the same customer perception as a used car salesman, he said. We're probably in the same category when people think a gold buyer or a pawn shop. Jewel Recyclers buys tea sets, coin sets, and diamond rings, which often come with sad backgrounds and aren't always carrying the value customers want. We deliver that in a transparent way, he said. The truth hurts sometimes. But gold is in high demand, and the headlines about it get people intrigued to see what their jewelry and such is worth. The surge in revenue has Mellett, with 25 employees, looking to expand again. He's looking for a place now in Wake Forest, and will keep looking across the Southeast after that. We hope to get to 20 locations in 3 to 5 years. It will probably take 5, he said. Wake has 7 of NC's fastest-growing places. Wake County stands out as the epicenter of North Carolina's population surge, claiming 7 of the state's 15 fastest-growing places between 2024 and 2025, according to newly released census data. The Raleigh suburbs of Wendell, 17.3% growth, Zebulon, 13.9% growth, and Roseville, 8.5%, ranked among the top 5 statewide for year-over-year growth, with Wendell and Zebulon taking the top 2 spots. And larger communities like Apex, Knightdale, Garner, Holly Springs, and Fuquay Varina continue to add thousands of residents each year. Meanwhile, Raleigh has surpassed 500,000 people from below 466,000 in 2020. And in Selma, Target opens first store in JoCo. The wait is finally over. Johnston County has a Target store. The Minneapolis-based retail giant opened the doors to a 129,000-square-foot store at 551 St. Mark Avenue in Selma. The Target location is part of Eastfield Crossing, a 3-million-square-foot mixed-use development off Interstate 95 at exits 97 and 98. The Target at Eastfield Crossing has been in the works for quite some time. The retail giant purchased land in the development in November 2023. Cary Apex beat Raleigh for best places to live in NC. Southwest Wake County is the place to be. That's according to the newest ranking of best places to live in the U.S., released May 19 by U.S. News and World Report. The list, which features 250 communities across the country, has Cary at number 11 and Apex at number 20. Both communities have seen their populations balloon over the past decade, with Cary now above 183,000 residents and Apex topping 80,000, up from about 65,000 in 2020. Raleigh ranks 185th overall and 4th among big cities. Cary ranks 5th among medium-sized cities. Chapel Hill landed at number 188 on the overall list. And finally, Raising Cane's headed to Rocky Mount. A chain of fried chicken restaurants with $5 billion in annual sales is bringing a store to an eastern North Carolina city. Raising Cane's, based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is planning to open a restaurant at 1010 North Wesleyan Boulevard in Rocky Mount this summer, according to a representative of the company. The representative declined to confirm a specific opening date and did not respond to additional questions. The 8,805-square-foot building on the 1.72-acre site was previously occupied by Red Lobster before the restaurant closed in 2024. Triangle Business Journal reported in late 2025 that Casada, an LLC that shares an address with D'Agrapont Gramillion Advisors, also based in Baton Rouge, purchased the site for $3.25 million, according to deed records and NC Secretary of State filings. Raising Cane's already has 2 locations in the Triangle. And now we'll return to our top news stories, first starting with an article written by Zach Ezone. Meredith College looks to revamp. Women's school wants to boost enrollment, launch capital campaign. 2 years into her tenure, Meredith College president Amy Sapp is charting the school's next phase. The college is drafting a new strategic plan, studying potential residence hall upgrades and gearing up for a capital campaign as it seeks to strengthen its position in a higher education landscape that has grown more challenging for smaller private institutions. Sapp, who arrived at the Raleigh Institution in July 2024, said her first year focused largely on listening, meeting with students, faculty, and alumni, before shifting to defining the college's long-term direction. That work includes launching a strategic planning process and bringing in a consulting firm to help shape potential upgrades to campus housing. You learn a lot about an institution and the numbers and the statistics and all those things, but that's just a small part of the story, Sapp said. The rest of it, you really have to embed yourself. The strategic plan, which has been in development for about a year, is expected to go before the college's Board of Trustees next month with a full rollout plan for the start of the fall semester. The plan is expected to focus on priorities, including growing enrollment, improving infrastructure, strengthening the college's finances, and investing in employees. Meredith draws about 80% of its students from within the state and 45% from Wake County. The college's undergraduate enrollment, 1,212 in fall 2025, according to a public bond filing, has been flat in recent years amid a nationwide decline in traditional college-age students. But Sapp said the college has seen growth in graduate enrollment driven by interest in its MBA and post-baccalaureate programs. Deposits for graduate programs for the summer and fall terms have increased about 70% since 2022, according to the college. Sapp created a dedicated vice president of enrollment, a position the college did not have previously. Meredith also has invested in programs targeting working adults seeking to complete degrees. That's what we're seeing in the demographics in our area, Sapp said. There's a lot more students wanting to come back as transfers and complete degrees and wanting to earn master's degrees, and there are just fewer students in the traditional age group. Meredith is also expanding some of its academic offerings. The college accepted its first cohort of 23 students for its new nursing program this spring. In the fall, Meredith plans to open a Center for Entrepreneurial Impact to connect students with Triangle Area entrepreneurs. The college operates 7 residence halls, along with the Oaks, an apartment-style facility. About 58% of students live on campus. Several of the college's older buildings are showing signs of aging infrastructure, a concern some students raised last year. I recognized that very quickly after arriving that we have some buildings that were aging just by the fact that they were 100 years old, Sapp said. In Cary, 200-home project pitch near Bond Park. Residential development keeps heating up in Cary as the fast-growing town runs out of developable land but still faces intense demand for housing. Singh Development, with offices in Cary and Michigan, filed site plans for 200 residential units near the corner of West Chatham Street and Old Apex Road in southwest Cary. The units will be carriage homes with attached garages and private entrances. The community will be near Fred G. Bond Metro Park and Hoffman Lake. Singh's carriage homes will have 1, 2, and 3-bedroom floor plans. The units will be spread among 24 two-story buildings due to rezoning conditions that limit how many units can be in one building. There is no estimated construction timeline yet, as Avi Gruel, director of development at Singh, said it is still too early in the process. Rental rates have not been estimated yet. However, the carriage homes at Griffin Weston on Cary Parkway start at $2,995 a month. Gruel said the developer chose the location because of its proximity to the Greenway Trails, Bond Park, and downtown Cary Park. As part of the rezoning, the developer also agreed to develop a community gathering space of at least 6,250 square feet, install at least 10 EV chargers, make several traffic improvements, and dedicate 11 of the units as workforce housing for residents making up to 80% of the area median income. The carriage homes will be on 23.55 acres at 1408, 1412, 1416, and 1420 Old Apex Road and an unaddressed parcel on West Chatham Street. The property is assessed at $6.8 million. The parcels are owned by GLJ Development, LLC, and have 2 single-family homes on site. And that article was written by Kaylee Thompson. And our next article is written by Kate Tracy. Umstead Hotel names hospitality veteran GM. Jose Carlos Kersey already has deep ties to the award-winning hotel. The Umstead Hotel and Spa has a new leader. The Cary Hotel, one of the top hotels in the state, has hired Jose Carlos Kersey as general manager. The appointment comes after the recent departure of former general manager David Mars after less than 3 years in the role. Mars has taken a management position in Alabama at the upcoming Margaritaville Resort at the Wharf. "North Carolina is home for me and my family," Kersey said. Kersey is returning to familiar territory at the Umstead. He started there in 2011 as the director of banquets before being promoted to assistant director of food and beverage and then director of food and beverage. He's moving back to the Umstead after completing his role as vice president of private homes and estates at Nemacolin in Pennsylvania. Kersey has also worked stints at the Hermitage Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee, and the Salamander in Virginia, but he always had the same goal in mind. "It was always to be general manager of the Umstead Hotel and Spa. It's my dream job, if you will," he said. Leah Goodnight, director of marketing for the Umstead, said in a release that Kersey's deep understanding of what defines exceptional service will be a tremendous asset as we continue to elevate the guest experience at the Umstead. In addition to Mars, Kersey is following in the steps of former general manager Jim Belli, who held the position for nearly 15 years. "The biggest challenge is to keep pushing ourselves to be the best of the best, because that's the goal, not only in North Carolina, not only in the U.S. We want to position ourselves to be one of the best luxury properties in the world," Kersey said. Located next to the SAS campus in Cary, the 150-room hotel routinely ranks as the top hotel in North Carolina. The Umstead has also achieved five-star status from Forbes since 2008, among other accolades. The hotel's restaurant, Heron's, made the Michelin Guide as a recommended restaurant, while executive chef Stephen Green was a James Beard semifinalist this year for Best Chef in the Southeast, as well as in 2016, 2017, and 2019. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal. The first page we come to is written by Kate Tracy on retail and restaurants. Ex-Mandolin space to get new life. La Victoria Cochina Mexicana plans a second location in the spot. Months after the restaurant Mandolin closed along the edges of the Hayes-Barton neighborhood, a local hospitality group is taking over the space. La Victoria Cochina Mexicana, located in Cary, plans to open a second location in the 4,400-square-foot restaurant at 2519 Fairview Road later this fall, pending permit approvals. La Victoria is a sister restaurant to La Buena Vida, Fonda Lupita, and Tacos, Number One, all part of the fast-growing local Jalmex Hospitality Group. "We wanted to look for something closer to downtown Raleigh," General Manager Gabriel Alvarez said of the former Mandolin location. In addition, the location was appealing for its proximity to nearby schools and its family-friendly neighborhood atmosphere. "For the concept that we have running in our Cary location, we couldn't have picked a better spot for it," Alvarez said. La Victoria serves lunch and dinner and has a separate kids menu as well as an extensive margarita and drink menu. Dinner items include the carnitas plate for $15.99, chilaquiles for $15.99, an al pastor taco plate for $14.99, and much more according to its online menu. Inside the restaurant, guests can expect rustic, minimalist decor featuring greenery and beach aesthetics for a relaxed, family-friendly environment, Alvarez said. The restaurant will be targeted toward families and quieter than its rowdy sister restaurant, La Buena Vida, which turns up the party atmosphere around 9 p.m. Blue Ridge Realty is the landlord of the space on Fairview Road, according to deed records. Alvarez said the landlord visited La Victoria and Cary multiple times to get a feel for the environment and food. Mandolin closed after 14 years in operation in August. Chefs Sean Fowler and his wife Lizzie have now opened Float Spa Raleigh off Falls of Neuse Road, which features float tanks, sauna, and cold plunge, skin care, and massage services. Home builder plans mixed-use project in Fuquay. A custom home builder and former town mayor is branching out into retail and restaurant development in Fuquay Varina. Blake Massengill, president of Massengill Design Build, has submitted plans for a mixed-use building at 322 South Main Street. "This is a marquee corner and location in town. It's got a lot of visibility, and I just want it done right. We've only got one chance on that corner," Messengill said. Messengill purchased the three parcels at 322, 324, and 326 South Main Street for $345,000 in 2023, according to Wake County deed records. The site was a former gas and service station, so Messengill hired an environmental engineer to clean it up. "I grew up in the town, been here my whole life, and I want to see something good get built on that corner," Messengill said. The building will come with three residential units on the second floor and retail and restaurant space. The 4,732-square-foot restaurant space is two stories. Messengill has a handshake deal in place with the local restaurant group for the space. We've got great restaurants in Fuquay Varina. Most of them are always very, very full and busy, Messingill said. I heard from other restaurants that they would like to locate in Fuquay Varina. They just needed a spot to go to. And finally, go-kart venue opens next to Topgolf. After years of planning and construction, Andretti Indoor Karting and Games is opening at 4857 Topgolf Way in Durham, off Interstate 40 and Page Road. The 90,000-square-foot venue is right next to Topgolf. The official opening was scheduled for May 19. We always love to be close to other family entertainment centers because we kind of feed off of each other, give the guests that come the availability to go back and forth, General Manager Andrew White said. White said the business is wrapping up training for its approximately 250 employees. Go-karting is the main attraction on a first-come, first-served basis, as the business does not take reservations. Andretti has plenty of other options to entertain guests while they wait for their turn to race. Andretti features arcade games with 213 player positions and a two-story laser tag room for 30 players at a time. The venue has 8 duck pin bowling lanes. In addition, there's a 3D motion theater shooting simulator where 16 guests at a time sit in chairs and shoot toy guns as part of a video game. The seats are moving, lights are flashing, the fans are blowing at you. It's super interactive, White said. Andretti also features 2 virtual reality attractions and 4 Formula One racing simulators. Of course, there are eating and drinking options as well, with a full-service restaurant and bar downstairs. And finally on this page, we have a quotable. Like many independent restaurants, the past several years brought challenges that were difficult to overcome. And that's Bass Lake Draft House on why it closed after 23 years in Holly Springs. And now we turn to Zach Ezzone's page on healthcare and life sciences. Humacyte slashes quarter of staff. Company shifts strategy to now work directly with surgeons. Triangle-based biotech Humacyte is cutting about a quarter of its workforce as it revamps its commercial strategy and works to retain its NASDAQ listing. The company is eliminating 45 positions through layoffs and deferred hiring while reducing other operating expenses to grow sales of its lead product, Symvess. The FDA approved Symvess for vascular trauma in December 2024. The bioengineered vessel made from human tissue repairs damaged arteries and could help treat battlefield injuries. Humacyte cut 31 employees last year in a separate restructuring. The company ended 2025 with 184 employees, according to its latest annual financial report. The company cut 31 employees last year in a separate Humacyte manufactures Symvess at an 83,000-square-foot Durham facility that also houses its headquarters, offices, and laboratories. The restructuring is expected to generate $14.3 million in net savings through the remainder of 2026. The company reported $48.9 million in cash as of March 31. Humacyte is working to accelerate adoption of Symvess following a slower-than-expected commercial rollout. The company reported Symvess sales of $500,000 in the first quarter, up from $100,000 a year earlier. CEO Laura Nicholson said the company is shifting its approach to work more directly with surgeons to drive adoption. Humacyte plans to present interim results from a Phase 3 hemodialysis access trial on June 11, which could expand the product's use and market opportunity. Lumexa adds 4 imaging centers. Raleigh medical imaging company Lumexa Imaging is adding 4 outpatient centers months after going public, including one in Concord. The company, formerly operated as U.S. Radiology Specialists, formed in 2018 by private equity firm Welsh, Carson, Anderson & Stowe and Charlotte Radiology. It now operates 190 outpatient imaging centers across 13 states. Lumexa went public in December, raising about $462.5 million at $18.50 per share. The 4 new sites are part of Lumexa's strategy to expand through acquisitions, partnerships, and new builds. The North Carolina and Pennsylvania centers were added through acquisitions with joint venture partners Advocate Health and the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. The South Carolina and Florida locations are new facilities. Lumexa plans to open 8 to 10 new centers this year after opening 9 last year. The company is also pursuing additional acquisitions. CEO Caitlin Zulla said the company sees long-term growth from an aging population, rising preventative screening rates, and a shift to outpatient care. The company reported revenue of $252.2 million in the first quarter, up about 3% from last year, and is projecting revenue of about $1.05 billion to $1.1 billion in 2026. Raleigh practice teams with Florida Group. Millennium Physician Group has spent 3 years building a presence in the Triangle. Now it's trying something new. The Florida-based Physician Group is partnering with Raleigh Medical Group, a 53-year-old independent medical multi-specialty practice with about 80 clinicians and about 170 patients across the region. Under the arrangement, RMG will work with Millennium to manage its Medicare and Medicare Advantage patients in an approach designed to help the practice remain independent. Millennium first established a Triangle presence when Durham Internal Medicine Associates joined the group in 2022. More recently, Millennium added North Raleigh Medical Center near Wakefield Commons in November, followed by Triangle Community Physicians in Durham last month. Millennium was founded in Florida in 2008 and has grown into one of the nation's largest physician groups with more than 900 providers across 4 states. RMG will remain independently owned while working with Millennium to manage its Medicare and Medicare Advantage patients. Millennium will provide technology, analytics, and care management support aimed at identifying higher-risk patients and improving outcomes. About 35% of RMG's revenue comes from Medicare and Medicare Advantage, said RMG CEO John Fowler. Under the partnership, RMG expects to begin participating in Medicare Advantage contracts in 2026, with transition to full accountable care plan for 2027. And finally on this page, we have a big number, 170,000. Raleigh Medical Group serves about 170,000 patients across the Triangle with about 80 clinicians at the independent multi-specialty practice. And now we turn to Kaylee Thompson's page. This covers real estate and development. Kane Expanding Innovation District, 7-story building will include nearly 11,000 square feet of retail. Kane Realty Group filed site plans with the City of Raleigh for Merit, the second building in its North Hills Innovation District expansion. The 7-story mixed-use building will include 387 apartments and 10,949 square feet of ground floor retail. The 383,544-square-foot building will offer 303 one-bedroom units, 80 two-bedroom units, and 4 three-bedroom units above a two-level parking garage with 429 spaces. The retail space will be at the corner of Oakline Drive and Navajo Drive. The announcement comes as more businesses move into the district. The In-Town Golf Club of Atlanta recently announced a location there with 200 members already signed up. The Leonard Mason Group at Millennium Private Wealth leased 4,000 square feet on the 7th floor of Tower 5. Merit will sit on 2.58 acres on Lot 4 of the Midline Raleigh site, which Kane purchased in January. The building will be between Oakline Drive and the future extension of Quail Hollow Drive and across Navajo Drive from Veranda, the first mixed-use building in the expansion. Kane is also planning its next office tower for the expansion with an activated first floor and access to open space and streamside retail along Big Branch Creek. The developer continues to expand the district to meet growing demand for office and residential space. With very little vacancy across North Hills and new buildings like One North Hills Tower, which opened in 2024 and was fully leased by the end of 2025, we see a clear opportunity to meet continued demand, Hooker Manning, director of office leasing at Kane, said in a release. Developer proposes 279 units near NC State. Kennedy Wilson of Beverly Hills, California, filed site plans with the City of Raleigh for a student housing project on parcels bordered by Avent Ferry Road, Broadwell Drive, and Chapel Drive near NC State University's campus. The proposal includes 279 units with one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and four- and five-bedroom floor plans spread among 3 buildings that are 4 and 5 stories tall. One building will wrap a 510-space parking deck. The developer goes before Raleigh City Council on May 19 for its rezoning application for the 17 parcels. The rezoning application states the rezoning is to create consistent zoning across the site of residential mixed use up to four stories and increase density so student housing can be built. The 8.95-acre site currently has 59 rental units and 19 buildings that would be torn down. Proposed rezoning conditions include providing 120-day written notice of lease termination to current tenants and a one-time relocation fee of $2,500 per unit if requested. The properties are assessed at $8.5 million. The Western Boulevard corridor is rapidly growing as developers target it for dense student housing. Recent rezonings include a seven-story request for Gorman Street and a potential seven-story rezoning for Amadeo's Italian restaurant site. DeWitt Carolinas seeks 30-story approval. Raleigh developer DeWitt Carolinas is advancing plans for its billion-dollar Exchange Raleigh development in Midtown, seeking to rezone two parcels at St. Albans Drive and Benson Drive near Duke Raleigh Hospital from 20 stories to 30 stories. The rezoning will allow the developers to move forward with the hotel and condominium concept on the 2.86-acre site, currently surface parking. A DeWitt Carolinas representative said the change will help preserve green space for a planned 4-acre park. The developer's original plan includes 300 hotel rooms and luxury condos, though the number of units is unknown. DeWitt Carolinas is also working on 2000 Social, its second office building with about 350,000 square feet of office space. The 12-story building will connect via Skybridge to 1000 Social, which is 70% leased. At full build-out, the Exchange will include up to 990,000 square feet of office space, up to 1,275 residential units, 125,000 retail square feet, and 300 hotel rooms. And finally, why Highwoods sold a Nashville tower for $255 million. Highwoods Property sold Nashville's Bridgestone Tower for $255 million to San Francisco-based Drawbridge Realty, the second highest price ever paid for a Nashville office building. The 30-story, 513,000-square-foot tower sold for approximately $486 per square foot. Highwoods developed and completed the building in 2017 as a build-to-suit for Bridgestone Americas Incorporated, which occupies the entire tower under a lease expiring in 2037. Brendan Maiorana, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Highwoods, said the sale helps fund recent acquisitions, including the $138 million Advance Auto Parts Tower in Raleigh's North Hills. In 2025 and 2026 combined, Highwood sold $270 million in assets and acquired $581 million worth of properties. And now we turn to Lauren Onosorge's page. This covers manufacturing and finance. Manufacturer expands into 50,000 square feet. PCX will move its 160,000 square foot ops into more space next door. A 33-year-old manufacturer is expanding, boosted by the artificial intelligence boom. PCX, which designs and manufactures modular data centers, is expanding at its Knightdale operation. Filings with Wake County show PCX currently in 160,000 square feet of space at 370 Spectrum Drive, intends to expand into 50,000 square feet of space next door. Permit applications call for removing an interior office transaction window, as well as upgrading parts of an office, warehouse, and exterior building at 360 Spectrum Drive, Suite 110. Insiders say it comes down to demand with no end in sight. Matt Efron, Director of Product and Business Development, said PCX is focused on data center modularity, a construction method of building things in a factory that would typically be done on a construction site, he said. Over the past 2 years, demand just keeps rising amid the AI boom, which has driven increased need for data processing and storage infrastructure. Efron declined to say how many people work in Knightdale or how many the firm plans to hire, but he called it a true expansion and one that will definitely result in new jobs. The firm is hiring for more than 30 open positions in the Triangle, according to its website. PCX started in 1993, spinning out of IES Holdings in 2002. The firm, which also has an operation in Clayton, was acquired by Hubbell Incorporated 20 years later for about $110 million. It's now part of Hubbell's Industrial Controls Division. S-Line construction advances in Raleigh. Construction on the S-Line is rising over Durant Road in Raleigh. The slope towering over the pavement is the first step in a commuter rail line that will one day carry passengers from Raleigh to Wake Forest, the first leg of a broader push to connect the triangle to Richmond via high-speed trains. Crews are dumping, spreading, and compacting, building the bridge that will lift traffic over the future rail line. Unlike most transportation projects, rail depends heavily on discretionary grants. In the discretionary world, we work grant to grant. Jason Orthner, NCDOT's Rail Division Director, said that means competing against projects nationwide for funding. Momentum broke through in 2023 when NCDOT secured a federal grant worth nearly $1.1 billion to design and build the segment. Then a federal review under the Trump administration paused dollars for projects across the country. Financing resumed earlier this year. At Durant Road, where 22,000 vehicles each day cross the tracks, about 200,000 cubic yards of fill are needed to build the embankment, or more than 14,000 truck trips. The original target for completing the Raleigh to Wake Forest segment was 2030. Despite the funding disruption, Orthner said the team still expects to come close. Town Bank beefs up Triangle banking team. Town Bank of Virginia is adding three bankers from First National Bank following its acquisition of Raleigh-based Dogwood State Bank. Chris Moore will serve as president of corporate banking for North Carolina. Justin Holliday and John McGarry are joining as senior vice presidents and commercial banking officers. All three previously worked with Steve Jones, Dogwood's founding CEO and now president of Town Bank Carolinas. Jones said the hires add depth as competition intensifies in the Triangle, where out-of-state lenders like Huntington Bank and Atlantic Union Bank are targeting the market. Town Bank will have 30 bankers in the Triangle. As of June 30, Town Bank ranked number 6 in the Raleigh-Cary market with $1.57 billion in deposits, while Dogwood was number 15 with $814 million, according to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Town Bank has $22.4 billion in assets and operates more than 70 banking offices. And finally, auto parts distributor files Chapter 11. Chapel Hill Auto Parts and Electrical Components Distributor Mountain Power Systems filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization May 12, citing millions in disputed debt. The company, headquartered at 144 Old Lystra Road, lists both assets and debts ranging between $1 million and $10 million. The firm estimates it has more than 50 creditors, with many of the largest debts described as disputed. The biggest is a disputed trade debt owed to Wetherill Associates for nearly $1.9 million. Other major debts include a shareholder loan of more than $445,000 owed to Panka Sokolovsky, and a disputed loan of nearly $332,000 owed to Itria Ventures. CEO Ilya Sokolovsky signed the filing. And now we turn to our last reporter page. This one's written by David Pertell. On the coast, marina doubles capacity for yachts. Developer adds space for vessels up to 125 feet in Morehead City. A developer has doubled the space at a marina on the coast, sweetening the case for luxury yachts to come to North Carolina. Austin Shell, CEO of Port 32, owner of Portside Marina in Morehead City, said it's a completely different marina than it was 2 years ago when the company, headquartered in Charleston, South Carolina, purchased the property, marking the firm's entrance into North Carolina. It was a gamble, as Portside Marina was the company's first property outside of Florida. After its purchase, Port 32 snagged nearby land, Shell said. What started as a dry barn with about 140 slips now includes an additional 253 dry racks rated for Category 3 hurricanes. The marina installed new fuel systems, including a 6,000-gallon gas tank and a 12,000-gallon diesel tank. We put in a brand new electrical system on the dock, which includes 100 amp power for deep water vessels up to 125 feet, he said. That means big yachts won't have to run their generators. The renovations were completed last July, and this season will be the first test of whether they'll snag interest. Carteret County deed records put the sale of the marina property at about $5.3 million. Port 32 snagged a $400 million deal to refinance its coastal marina portfolio in December 2024. Shell said the firm had been evaluating the market for 2 years before inking the marina deal in April 2024. When we zoomed in on North Carolina, we were looking at growing areas that fit our coastal marina portfolio, and obviously Morehead City jumped off the map, he said. And that first article was actually written by Lauren Onisorge. The rest are by David Pertell. Shopping center sold for $24 million. A shopping center in coastal North Carolina has sold for nearly $24 million to a Maryland real estate firm. CR Cypress Bay, a Baltimore-based LLC that lists the address of Continental Realty Corporation, purchased Cypress Bay Plaza at 5167 Highway 70 West in Morehead City, according to Carteret County deed records. The seller was U.S. Properties Group. Cypress Bay Plaza, featuring anchor tenants such as Belk, Best Buy, and Hobby Lobby, is among the best retail centers in the Morehead City area and adds to our robust roster of high-performing assets in North Carolina. Josh Dinstein, co-chief investment officer of Continental Realty Corporation, said in a statement, "We have tremendous confidence in the local economy as driven by consistent job and population growth," he said. The sale was part of a 14-property deal across seven states that totaled about $200 million, according to reports. Built in 1989, Cypress Bay Plaza features around 300,000 square feet of retail space. Tenants include Belk, Hobby Lobby, Furniture Store, Shore Decor, Best Buy, and Rack Room Shoes. Continental Realty Corporation has a national portfolio totaling close to $5 billion with 10.5 million square feet. Chipotle property nets millions. A Chipotle Mexican Grill property in Elizabeth City sold for $2.85 million in April, continuing a trend of acquisitions on the quick service Mexican food chain in North Carolina. Vulcan Group, a Florida-based LLC listing Kenneth Schur as registered agent on state business filings, purchased the location at 3730 Patrick Way, according to Pasquotank County deed records. The restaurant opened in December 2024 as the city's first Chipotle and features a Chipotlane drive-thru. Vulcan Group representatives did not respond to requests for comment. Chipotle owns more than 4,000 locations worldwide and opened more than 300 between 2024 and 2025, according to its annual report. Total revenue reached $11.9 billion, up 5.4% from the prior year. In March, a Clayton Chipotle sold for close to $5 million, and the chain opened its first Sanford location this month. Pasquotank County's population of 42,201 grew 1.4% between 2024 and 2025, according to census data. And finally, state acquires Topsail property. A pristine coastal property once eyed for development by Pendo CEO Todd Olson is now under state control. North Carolina assumed ownership of Serenity Point on Topsail Island in April, the Wilmington Business Journal reported. The nearly 100-acre site at the southern end of the island was acquired last year by a land preservation group for $7.5 million, with plans to hand it over to the state. A proposed development on the site caused local uproar in 2022 and 2023, when Olson was looking to acquire it for a 24-acre family compound. Olson dropped the plans in late 2023 due to the public outcry. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice column. This is written by Lauren Onisorge. Features Lindsay Zano, and in a closer look, title, Head of Paleontology, NC Museum of Natural Sciences, first job, usher at a performing arts center, residence, Wake Forest, hometown, New York, alma mater, University of New Mexico, family, husband, two kids. Lindsay Zano didn't grow up knowing she would name dinosaurs. She grew up wandering. A latchkey kid in upstate New York's Hudson Valley, Zano spent long stretches of time alone, moving through backyards and open space. "It became a passion, being outside, thinking about the world around me," she said. "I loved science, I liked solving problems, I loved learning about the natural world." Dinosaurs were part of that curiosity. "Everybody loves them," she said. But they weren't the plan. For a long time, there wasn't really a plan at all. Then, like a lot of students who are good at science and math, she drifted towards medicine, a practical path, a stable one. Everything changed with a book her mother handed her, From Lucy to Language, a sweeping look at human evolution. "It just opened a world in my mind, connecting everything I could see around me, connecting humanity to the rest of the natural world," she said. She went all in, library stacks, anthropology texts, a complete pivot. But even then, the path wasn't linear. Zano had no mentors guiding her, no obvious next step. She just knew she needed to leave. She flipped through an atlas, landed on New York, shrugged, flipped again, and landed on New Mexico. That was enough. She sold what she had, packed her car, and drove west, enrolling at the University of New Mexico to study anthropology. It was a complete unknown, but it also happened to be a state with a lot of dinosaurs. It was there, volunteering at a museum and heading out on dinosaur digs, that it all clicked. "Soon I realized I was way more passionate about ancient things than people," she said. She went to graduate school for geology, there was no formal paleontology track, and began to assemble the shape of a career that even now doesn't follow a straight line. "For me, paleontology is a wonderful combination of adventure and discovery and hard science, and those are things I'm really passionate about," she said. That mix is still what drives her. Visitors to the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences can watch Zano's team at work, part of the museum's mission to make science visible. But the most defining moments happen far from Raleigh. "I get to spend months living in a tent in the field, exploring places that no one has been before, turning a corner and seeing something no person has seen for the first time," she said, "or excavating a flake of bone and exposing a jaw of an animal that we barely imagine." It's a career built as much on endurance as discovery, long days, remote landscapes, uncertainty, and still, the discoveries keep coming. Despite a perception that science has mapped the world, Zano points out that paleontology remains wide open. And we'll scan through the rest of the article as it mentions Zano has built her career at the intersection of discovery and public engagement, something she realized early during a postdoctoral stint at a field museum in Chicago, where connecting science to people became as important as the research. And that's why she say the job she has now is her dream job. And today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, I'm Derek Frost, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.